and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It's like the middle of November.
I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas.
I know, but it's not. We're not even to Thanksgiving yet.
Okay, well, then let's just scrap this whole podcast since we're going to talk about church Christmas services.
Well, we can't do that because we need to talk about it now because then talking about it then is too late.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, yeah. Jonathan.
Yes.
By the way, do you know what you're going to get for Christmas?
I do.
What?
Do my kids listen to this podcast? I don't think they do. We're taking the kids to Disney.
Again?
We've never been to get Disney. We've never taken all the
Jonathan,
kids.
Jonathan, when you and I did a trip in Orlando, I stayed and worked, and you went to Disney.
That was by myself, though.
Well, that means you took the kid to Disney.
No, yeah, that's true. But so, we're all going in March, so we've got all the plans laid out. So it's going to be fun.
Good.
Looking forward to that. So the kids are going to be they're going to be blown away. But the thing is, I just got to realize I don't think they know what the magic bands are. So whenever they open those up on Christmas morning, I don't know if they're going to know.
Oh, get a Mickey inflatable to jump out.
Okay. And, I'll work on that.
And just, you know, watch what happens with that.
That's going to be our thing. That's going to be our Christmas deal.
So that's going to be your family Christmas.
Yeah. Do you know what you're getting, Nellie Jo?
Nothing.
All right. Okay.
No, we stopped getting it. We give gifts.
That's right. You have like 84 grandkids to give gifts to.
That and others that we give gifts. So we enjoy our gifts that we give are giving. And
same here. I'm giving my kids stuff.
But even Ellie Jo has said, don't buy me a gift because if she wants a gift, she goes out and buys it.
Anyway. That's kind of how me and Beth are.
Yeah.
We're the same way.
Yeah. Not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated her birthday and, and I said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, nothing. And so I usually get her a couple of cards, take her out to eat. But by the time her birthday comes around, she's bought three or four things and said, oh, I'm getting this for my birthday. I'm getting this for my birthday.
I love it.
So that's the way it works. Okay, on track, we're talking about 8 keys for church Christmas service. And we're always wishing a Merry Christmas to our sponsors, especially our founding sponsor, Vander Blumen Search Group.
Vander Blumen Search Group is a premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
This particular issue of Rainer on Leadership dealing with church Christmas services is unique. And by the way, never say very unique.
I know. There's no degrees of uniqueness.
Yes.
It's like pregnancy. You're either are or aren't.
You're not very. Some people say if she's very large, she's very pregnant. No, she's just pregnant.
Yes.
There's no very unique. There is unique. And what is unique about once every 7 years, Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. So there are a lot of questions out there about what do you do on Christmas Eve. We're not necessarily getting into that, but I do want to get into that. Can I do that before we even get to our points here? I know it's my podcast.
Yeah, Rainer
on Leadership. So here's some things. First of all, I know of a few churches that are electing to have just Christmas night services.
A Christmas Eve night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're not doing a Sunday morning service because they want to put all of their efforts and all of their energy into multiple Christmas Eve services.
Yeah. Okay.
There's some churches that are doing Christmas Eve morning, mm-hmm. December 24th, and electing, since we're doing that, we're not going to have a Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So our night. Christmas Eve services will be our morning services.
Will be the morning.
The regular ones.
Now, can I know this is my podcast, so I know I can inject my own opinion, but I'm going to say if you want to reach the unchurched, you better do something that night.
Yeah.
Because that's when people are expecting to be able to go to church that don't usually go to church. So mm-hmm. I'm not telling people what to do. I'm simply saying if you want the unchurched to come, and we'll be talking about this, this is one of the most unchurched attending times of the year, you better do something. And then some of them are doing both of them.
Yeah.
And
some are doing Saturday nights too. Saturday night and then doing their Sunday mornings. And some are just doing Saturday nights and no Sundays at all.
Really? So there's some out there that aren't going to have anything on Sunday.
Everybody's doing everything.
So there is no consistent answer. You know, if you were to ask me my opinion, I'd say it depends.
Yeah.
There's a lot of context here. there's a lot of, you know, what forces are you up against in your own church if you change things significantly, and how much should you be doing to reach in church? You need to weigh all those. But what we are going to talk about is 8 keys for church Christmas services. We're specifically talking more about Christmas Eve than just a Christmas service. So we will quickly go over these 8 points, and I think you'll find all of them very helpful.
Well, you've already kind of touched on the first one. Christmas Eve is the time when the unchurched are most receptive to attending church.
Conventional wisdom, which is neither conventional nor wise.
That's coming up in a couple of podcasts.
Conventional wisdom says Easter is that time of year. No, Easter's the time of year when everybody who attends once a month, twice a month, 3 times a month, or in rare cases, 4 times a month, comes at the same time.
Yeah. Family reunion today, basically.
It's family reunion. So it's really not that you get the unchurched there. In fact, you don't get that many nominally churched, unless you consider once a month nominal church. But that's a good word for it. It's the family reunion time. It's when everybody comes at one time. Christmas Eve is the time when people who are not in church may elect to attend church. So this is a really great opportunity for those of you who are listening to this right now to say, I am going to try to reach people that aren't in church. And just as a reminder, say this one more time, Christmas Eve for the unchurched is an evening event.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a morning event. Christmas Eve will be taking place this year all day on the 24th, like it always does, but that means Sunday morning as well.
Yeah.
And so people will say, well, we can have our Christmas Eve service in the morning. Yes, you can, but you're probably not going to reach many unchurched that morning if typical patterns continue to hold.
Because traditions are key.
This is the time. You may not know this about me, Jonathan, but I kind of thrive on change. And I kind of resist those who resist
change. I've picked
change.
That up over the years.
And sometimes I even get a little irritated with those.
I've also picked that up over the years.
That try to hang on to the past, you know, when there's no good reason to hang on to the past, whether it's a tradition or a building or, you know, whatever the case may be, where they're trying to hold on to that. But this is the time of year.
I was going to say, but.
But this is the time of year that I would say be traditional.
Yeah. Because that's what people expect.
That is what their memories are made of. That is where, that is what the 55-year-old woman or the 62-year-old man remembers. They remember the traditions of Christmas. Whatever you can put, I've just put some boomers' ages in there, kind of randomly. Put whatever you want to, but that is what they remember. So traditions, hymns, carols, candlelight.
Yep.
Hey. I got a story about candlelight. You may have heard it. You probably heard it from my boys.
You probably told it on the podcast before.
I probably have, but...
Is it about art?
No, it's about all 3 boys.
Oh, okay.
I was doing an interim pastorate at First Baptist Mount Washington.
Home of?
W.A. Criswell, where he met his wife, Betty Criswell. Yeah. She was in the Mount Washington community. Also, the home church of Aaron Sapp Rainer.
That's who I was really pushing toward.
But that's where Sam...
Criswell, too.
I met Aaron and introduced Aaron to Sam and said, you two need to get married.
And they did.
And they did. And they have given me 3 great, well, let me say 3 wonderful grandchildren, unless someone be confused with the grade in front of it. But I was interim pastor there for 15 months. It was a great interim pastorate in between the predecessor pastor, whose name I don't remember, and then Paul Chitwood, who became the successor pastor who followed me from that interim. And I was doing the Christmas Eve service. And I'm holding up the candlelight, and everybody's lighting the candle. And you know how those candles are that we have in most of our churches. They have the little holder where that wax doesn't drip on you.
The paper holder,
paper holder. And so I'm lighting mine, and we sing Silent Night. And if you're watching, you can't watch on a podcast, but if you were watching, you'd say I have my right hand, and I'm holding it up, making like I'm holding a candle and a candle holder in my hand. And then after we finish singing Silent Night, I then look over the congregation and say, you may extinguish your candle. My 3 boys broke up laughing.
They thought that was hilarious.
You may extinguish the candle, or you may extinguish the fire, I think is what I said. And they just broke. They're on the second row. 3 sons are just dying laughing because I'm saying, you may extinguish. Oh, I remember.
You may extinguish the flame.
Flame. That's exactly it. You may extinguish the flame. And I didn't think anything about it. They just thought it was so hilarious. But hymns, carols, candlelight, and always Silent Night.
holiness. You can't go wrong with that, right?
You can't go wrong with it, and it's just the way that you do candlelight services. So if you resist traditions, if you're more of a change agent like I have a tendency to be, go with the traditions on Christmas Eve.
All right, number three, keep it brief, 30 minutes max.
Yeah, some pastors say, oh, I've got the big crowd here. I want to do my 45-minute sermon. You got kids there. They're thinking about gifts. Many times it's time to eat. Make it a brief service, a brief, meaningful service. Have a 5 or 7 minute homily more than a 35-minute sermon. Just make it a brief service. Focus on the hymns. Focus upon the candlelight. Focus on the traditions. Certainly, it can be gospel centric for those who may think that I'm trying to be traditional at the risk of losing the gospel. Certainly, it should be gospel centric, but keep it around 30 minutes, and you won't go wrong. The whole service, not the sermon.
Yeah, all right. So begin promoting it right after Thanksgiving, though.
Right after Thanksgiving, because that's when everybody starts thinking about it. Now, let me ask you this, Jonathan. Do you observe the pagan tradition of the Christmas tree?
I don't know what you mean by that. Do I put a Christmas tree up in my house?
Yes, we do. Yes, and you do, because that's a traditional thing.
And so do you.
Of course I do. Of course.
Because the grandkids expect it.
The grandkids expect it, the kids expect it, and the wife tells me. So I put up
probably the most important reason there.
I put up the Christmas tree. Used to have a live Christmas tree. The older you get, the more started going.
Can't do that with kids' allergies.
Ooh, hadn't thought about that. Well, anyway, I usually buy an artificial tree about once every 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
By that time, it's pretty worn out. And so put up the artificial tree. When do you do yours?
It depends.
Okay.
So, 1 year we put it up before Thanksgiving by like 2 weeks because Beth knew that we had some stuff going on, so she's like, we're doing it this weekend. So I said, yes, ma'am.
But Thanksgiving is a marker.
Yes, usually.
Yeah.
Usually it's a weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, usually.
But we're out of town, so we make it work.
This is airing on November 14th, and we're recording it a couple of weeks ahead of time, and I'm thinking of putting mine up this week.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Early November.
That's
fine. Just to get it. Because we got family coming in beginning in Thanksgiving. Oh. So grandchildren will be expecting it.
Yes.
So back to this. Thanksgiving is the marker when people start thinking about Christmas. So in your church, begin promoting it right around the Thanksgiving time.
Because
right
they're making plans to travel. They're trying to get everything lined out. Get it on the calendar early.
Yep.
Especially if you're doing a different type of style or time of service.
Yeah, especially if you're listening to this in 2017 and there's a lot of confusion about when you're going to have Christmas Eve services, what time of day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it also allows you to, number five, begin using Facebook and Facebook ads to promote it to the community.
What is the single best resource that we have or that you've done on using Facebook ads? Do we
couple of blog posts on it, how to promote, how to use Facebook ads, why you should use Facebook ads, that kind of thing,
at
TomRainer.com. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Okay. We've been very intentional about promoting Facebook. Is this their some kind of strategic partner with us? They're not. They don't call us up when they change their algorithms, but they have become the number one advertising source in the world. I mean, if in terms of advertising dollars, nobody they've passed Google. Nobody gets more money than Facebook. So if you want to get your message out there, certainly you could do Google Ads, but I recommend, because your audiences can be so targeted with the way that Facebook uses their algorithms, and it can be in the community, it can be lookalikes of your list, it can be friends of your list. So it could really be good to do Facebook ads. So if you don't know anything about it, we got some links there. You can do paid ads, and you can do free on your Facebook page.
Yeah, you can put stuff on your Facebook page, but boost it. And just a couple of notes on that. Upload your church's email list and target those people as an audience. Also, use the email list to do their friends in a specific zip code. So use your church's zip codes or the church's zip codes that are the most likely to have people come, and target people in those areas. Don't just push it out there to everybody, because somebody in Philly isn't going to care about your service in El Paso. So unless they're traveling in, and then they've got family, and you target the family instead. So,
and if there is any doubt whatsoever that you can reach a lot of people, we have a link. We have a partnership with Percept.
Yeah.
And we have a link that if you want to get a very inexpensive report on 36 pages of report of your zip code or your radius, whatever you want it to be. And it also shows where the unchurched are. And it'll give you an idea of the potential that you can reach at this Christmas Eve. So we got a link to that for those who are interested in that as well.
All right. Number six, use a very simple registration card. First name, email, guest, or member. Prayer request.
Yeah. One of the keys in this is to ask everyone to complete it.
Yeah.
So, hey, church members, put your prayer request on here. Guest, give us whatever information you feel comfortable. At least get a first name and an email.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the minimal. And I would also say this. We do this at our church, and more churches are doing it. Have some type of ministry organization that you will say, for every card that is turned in, we will give $5, $4, $3, whatever,
yeah,
$10 to this. And it's amazing to watch it happen. I was in the service, and Jess, my son, the pastor, said that, and they decided at this particular service that they were going to give to the Haiti mission. The group just went to Haiti, and so they were going to give the Haiti mission. All of a sudden, Nellie Jo decides she wants to fill out a card as the bucket comes by.
She's like scrambling.
She's scrambling. So we freeze church for just a moment for Nellie.
She's the mom of the pastor, so.
Yeah, that would be a mop.
I wouldn't call her that.
I know. I wouldn't either. And I just did.
She doesn't listen, so it doesn't matter.
No, she does not listen to this podcast. Love you, girl.
All right, number seven, prepare for multiple services. We kind of talked about this, and especially greater attendance in the ones that you do have.
Yeah, even if you're not filled to capacity, even if it's not a capacity issue, I still would look at the possibility of having multiple services and giving some optional times before dinner, after dinner. Some churches even go as late as midnight. I don't know if families aren't going to be there for that, but you may pick up some. But that's always a good way. It's the more channels, the more opportunities, the more people that you might attend. So even if it's not a capacity issue, I would look at the possibility of at least doing a couple, maybe three different times.
All right. And finally, plan for the staff to have some time off post-Christmas.
Okay, there's an inverse to that. Plan for staff to be there during that.
All right. So, yeah, that's something I'm getting a little fired up now. But, like, this is an all-hands-on-deck event.
It is, but we're going to irritate some of our good friends by saying this because they take Christmas off.
Yeah, but this is an all-hands-on-deck kind of event.
I totally get that. And it is really best if the Christmas service, the Christmas Eve service, is everybody's there. I know that in some churches, the pastor's not actually there. Jonathan. No, these are our friends that we're talking to. These are the people we're trying to help. But I agree with you. This is the time where everybody should be there. Let me give an example. I have two pastor sons.
Yes,
they don't miss this time.
Good for them.
They plan their travel around that. So if we have to celebrate Christmas late or early, whatever the case may be, we do so because we're accommodating two pastors who make certain that they're always there during these key services.
Exactly.
So, but what should they do? What should the church do? Because it's been so intense during the holiday season, give them some time off.
Yeah.
Have a break. Have some downtime so that when it's all said and done, they do get the R&R. I have learned with three grown families and 72 grandchildren, I have learned that you take them when you can get them. And I don't worry about it. I don't stress out. Nellie Jo does not stress about it, especially since two of them are pastors and the other one is preaching regular, even though he works at a seminary. He's preaching on a lot of Sundays. So I'm just going to encourage church leaders. I'm going to encourage them to be there and then to give the staff some time off because it's very intense. Particularly for worship leaders, but there are children too. Children's leaders as well. There's a lot going on.
Well, and I understand that maybe you have to have the office open for a day or two during the week between Christmas and New Year's because you got year-end giving and people need to get their drop-off stuff or whatever it may be. There's some bookkeeping that needs to go on. I get that, but yeah, give the staff some time off and get everybody ready to go the next week.
There you go. We're always grateful for Midwestern Seminary. I was just on the phone with Jason, the president, 3 or 4 days ago, and just continuing to hear incredible things that are taking place at Midwestern, and what is taking place is just a miracle story in itself.
Yep, Midwestern is interested in getting you to the field faster, and they're doing this with their all-new Accelerate program. In that program, you can earn both a Bachelor's of Arts degree and a Master of Divinity degree in just 5 years of intensive study. That's a BA and an MDiv at the same time. This innovative residential program combines rigorous academic training with practical ministry preparation, resulting in one of the most effective programs around so that you can pursue your ministry calling as soon as possible. Get 2 degrees in 5 years, all from one program, the Accelerate program at Midwestern. Take the next step by visiting mbts.edu/accelerate. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
So as I was listening to you close it up, I got a email that says, I'm supposed to be on the welcome team on December 24th.
Well, I guess I know where you'll be on Christmas Eve.
I will be on the welcome team on December 24th.
That's going to be that's a big one for the welcome team.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
That's like Super Bowl Sunday for you.
And you know where they put me, don't you?
In the worship center.
In the worship center, where I have to interact with people more than anybody else.
Yep. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I think Seth, who's head of the worship team, by the way, we got a college student that's leading the welcome team.
That's fantastic.
He's doing a great job. Great job.
But if my church didn't do one, I don't know what our plans are yet, but if not, I may come down there just so you have to greet me.
Okay. I will. As a matter of fact, I will call you out during the service. I'll ask Jess if I can have a special time during the service.
He's not going to let that happen.
Well, we'll see. If it's you, he may
extinguish the flame.
You may extinguish the flame.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we're growing healthy churches together.